I hope you have a good time today, but I tell you, you ain't going to enjoy heaven very much if you don't enjoy having a good time. And we had a blast Friday night. We raised just over $500 towards our missions trip. We are about $1,600 away from our final goal to get all of our students and volunteers up to D.C. So if you can still help with that, check us out by the wall of money afterwards, and we'll help you with that. Right before service today, we're going to get into the message, I promise, but I just got to tell you all this. We're going to have fun today. Right before service, I realized the importance of Zumba in my life. Now, y'all just got to know, I'm the most uncoordinated. There was a video, you can watch it, the people are around me like, I'm the most uncoordinated person in the world, but I had a blast dancing Zumba. And I found out today why I need Zumba in my life. Because I went to the bathroom, and when I went to button my pants, I lost my button. And I was scrambling in panic mode for a safety pin. So I'm rocking a safety pin. I'm going to try not to move around too much because it's liable to poke me. And you'll know if it does. I'm just telling you. You'll know if that safety pin sticks me. So more Zumba, less cheeseburgers for Gabe. But I'm curious. I just want to know, is there anybody in the room that has never done Zumba, but you thought about it and you want to? Anybody in there? We got people in the back that you've never done Zumba, but you want to try it. Well, Troy has been so gracious to give us free passes. There's 30 free passes to Zumba classes. That's a huge value. Enjoy that. Go to Zumba. I told y'all, we love to have a great time around here. You want Zumba passes? There you go. That is 30 free. Who else back here? Miss Kim? 30 free passes to Zumba. Say, I'm here to have a great time. Let me tell y'all what. I just have a hard time believing that now. Anybody else for Zumba? I got 30 free classes to Zumba. Troy can hook you up. You can go to the website. Let me tell you what. Like I said, I'm the most uncoordinated person that ever drew breath. I really am. But Ron and I both paid to do Zumba the other night, and I felt a whole lot better about myself when I looked over. I got the microphone today. That's true. That's how it works. Today, what we're going to talk about, serious moment, then we'll laugh again a little bit. What we are going to talk about today is some very clear instructions that Jesus gives us of how to deal in our daily life, which can ultimately help us in the long run. Jesus is pretty good at giving advice like that. But I think this is very timely because this is something that we all deal with, I know, on a personal level. And if we deal with things properly on a personal level, then that will have a positive impact on the way that we interact with our families. And then when we have a positive impact on how we deal with our families and we're interacting with our families in a godly way, that will positively impact our church, and not only our church, but the universal church, Christians around the globe. So I think today is a very timely message for what we all deal with on a regular basis. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew 11. You can pull up your YouVersion app on your phone, or it will be on the screen. But today we're going to talk about being tired. Now, I did a little experiment earlier. Y'all don't know you're part of it. But typically at church, I don't say, how you doing? Other places, it's how are you doing? But here in the South, it's how you doing? Usually when I go to people, I say, hey, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you. But today I said, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Just so I could validate this point. And you all know it's true because it happens every day of our lives. If you ask anybody, do it today when you leave here and you go to the restaurant, you go to work, whatever happens the rest of the week, ask people, how are you doing? And I can just about guarantee you're going to get one of two answers. People are going to say to you, good, I'm good. How's your family? They're good. Good. How's your job? Oh, it's going good. 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 And it's a lie. Isn't it? We say that it's just an automatic response. People, it's so much of an automatic response. Y'all know this is true. It's so much of an automatic response that sometimes before you even get the question out, when people just go to greet you, say, good, and you? I didn't even ask you anything, dude. I mean, it's like, you just read my mind. People will tell you, I'm good. Or people will tell you that they're tired. And if people are tired, you see, we're going to talk about two different kinds of tired today. But people will say, I'm tired. They'll tell you that they're good, which is usually a lie. And then they'll tell you that they're tired. And if you're tired, that means you just want to rest, right? Are you Matthew 11? Get to Matthew 11. If you're tired, you just want to kick up your feet. I told y'all, we love to have a great time here at URA Community. People are tired. Now, we all know what this feels like, right? When you get home from work, all you want to do is get your shoes off. You want to kick back in the recliner. You want to get you a sweet tea or a Dr. Pepper or whatever. I mean, I'm not here to judge. Whatever you do. Kidding. You want supper to be ready. Netflix, Hulu, whatever you choose. And you just want to kick back, right? Because you're tired. Because things are crazy. Things are always in an uproar. There's just a lot going on, isn't there? I've learned to just accept that as the new normal. There's always going to be a lot going on. It's like welcome to adulthood, you know? There's always a lot going on. Things are always crazy. So if we're doing good, or we're always tired, well, how can we unpack that and see how Jesus deals with us being tired all the time? Now, what I want you to realize is, I kind of just did this for fun. This is not the type of tired that we're going to talk about today. Jesus gives us clear instructions on how to deal with a tired soul. And I think that will positively impact our physical well-being. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. And I want you... We're going to read that, and I'm going to get three things I want you to realize before we unpack it anymore. But let's read the verse. Listen to what Jesus says. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Well, that sounds pretty good. I'm tired. I need some rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. So not only are we tired all the time, we want to kick back and relax, but Jesus says, if you're tired, if you're carrying heavy burdens, if you're weary, if you're exhausted, like we were after 2 hours of Zumba Friday night. If you got all that going on, what do we do with it? I believe we need to understand three things about this verse before we get to some action points about the verse, because I think this is really going to help you. The first thing I want us to understand about this verse is, number one, Jesus wants my trash. Now, here's what I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on building a case for, because you're already convinced. I'm not going to have to convince you of it. We all got trash. We all got stuff that we deal with. No one in the room, no one that you interact with the rest of the day, no one you interact with your entire life is exempt from junk being in their lives. It's a result of the fall of man. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. That's the result that we deal with for sin being in the world. It was our choice. It was mankind's choice to disobey God. And because of that, we all have junk. We all have trash. And Jesus says, come to me. So Jesus wants your trash. The next thing I want us to understand about this verse is Jesus can handle my trash. We can take it to, you know, a lot of times we think, well, that's, God's not concerned about that. That's not a big enough issue. I mean, I'll just deal with this. I'll just take care of it and move on. I'm not going to bother God with that. Again, I want to invite you to go back to a series we just ended on prayer, and that'll help take care of a few of those things, because God wants to hear about what's going on in your life, big or small. If it matters to you, he wants to hear about it. So Jesus not only wants our trash, but he can handle our trash. He can take it. He's the creator of the universe. Words came out of his mouth and things appeared. He can handle it. He's the creator. He's God. He wants your trash and he can handle it. And number three that I want us to understand about this passage is Jesus can transform my trash. So not only does Jesus want my trash, Jesus can handle all my trash, and Jesus can transform my trash. Let me read the passage again. Come to me, Jesus speaking. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. Today I want us to unpack transforming our trash. So to do that, to transform my trash, again, we all have it. I don't think there's anyone in this room that would say there's not something that I'm dealing with, something that I wish would change, something that is in my life that I want out, or something that I don't have that I do want. All of that, all the trash, all the junk. To transform my trash, I need to understand that Jesus is, number one, my go-to. Jesus is the go-to. Now I want you to think back to everything that you did this past week. If you needed food, you knew where you could go to find it. You either went to the pantry, to the cabinets, or you got in your car and you drove to a restaurant. You went to the grocery store. That was your go-to. You knew where you could go to find the answer to take care of your problem. If you needed help with an issue that you knew this friend had dealt with before, you went to that friend. You went to someone who had the answer. If your car was low on gas, you knew where you could go to get the answer. Exxon, BP, Wilco, Hess. That's where you go to find the answer. We all understand that, right? And that's everyday life. And Jesus is saying, before he even unpacks what kind of trash we deal with, before he unpacks anything else, the very first commandment he gives us says, come to me. Jesus is our go-to. And I thought back to a lot of things that happen and wonder, why is Jesus usually an afterthought? Why is God not the first person we go to when we're dealing with something? And I don't know, I know I don't have everything figured out, but I think I got this one figured out. The reason that we don't go to Jesus first with our issues is usually because he doesn't have a track record with us. He's not really real to us. See, I know that my car will not go beyond the light being on that says fuel low unless I go to a gas station and fill it up. I've experienced that time and time again. Every time, for all the years I've been driving, the gas station has a track record with me. I know I can go there and it will fix what I need. I think the reason that we don't go to Jesus is because we haven't built up a track record with him. See, I can promise you that God is the only constant that will ever be in your life. Jesus Christ is the only faithful one that you will ever experience a relationship with. People will fail you. relationships with people fail you. But God is the only constant. And once we build up that track record with Him, we know we can go back to Him for the answer, because our mind will take us back to that last time I had that issue and I went to Him and it was taken care of. The last time I dealt with this, He showed me how to work through that. That's what happens a lot of times with our giving. We've been talking about that some lately. If I know that God is faithful, and I know that even when on paper things don't make sense, but I'm going to trust God anyways, it makes it easier the next time when I get my paycheck to write out a tithe check to the church, as God commanded, because He has a track record with me. I've experienced that time and time again, that God provides even when it doesn't look like it makes sense on paper. God provides. Whenever I've needed healing, whenever I've wanted healing for someone else and I've prayed and I've seen God move in that instance, I know I can go back to Him with that because He has a track record. And I think just simply that a lot of times we forget that, and Jesus just isn't real to us anymore. That we just have Jesus as this figment of our imagination sometimes. That we just imagine Jesus as this you know, a little bit over average height dude with perfect skin and a long flowy robe with a purple sash and long flowy hair with no split ends. And He goes around just saying, bless you, bless you. And He's not really a real person to us. He's not a real God. But once He is, He will immediately, every time we deal with something, become our go-to. So if we're going to take our trash to Jesus, well, why don't we just do that? I told y'all we're going to have fun today. I just got all kinds of goodies back here, y'all. I mean, y'all just have no idea. Let me just get down here. If we're going to take all of our trash to Jesus, if He's going to be the one that we go to with everything, if He's going to be the answer, if we understand that Jesus wants our trash, that Jesus can handle our trash, and that Jesus is the only one that can transform our trash, then today I want us to collectively take our trash to Jesus. And I'm going to show you how incredible this is whenever we allow this to happen. So what are some things that we take to Jesus? What are some things that... Problems in general. I got some things written on here from the first service, but problems. We're going to take all of our problems to Jesus. Because Jesus wants our trash, remember? So we're going to take all of our trash to Jesus. And yes, I did dig through the trash to get all this earlier. At my house and here. Which you can see why my button popped. Come on, what's some other stuff we take to Jesus? Health issues. Health issues. What else are we taking to Jesus? Come on, shout at me. Loss. When someone passes away, we're going to take our loss to Jesus. What else are we taking to Jesus? Worries. If you allow it, worry will kill you. It will eat you up. What else? Come on. Anger. And that leads to bitterness. It's okay. Jesus can read my handwriting. What else are we taking to Jesus? Come on. What's this? Financial problems. Show me a person that's never dealt with financial problems, and I will show you a figment of your imagination. We all deal with it, right? I need to buy some more Kleenex. I'm out. Who else? Who else? Addictions. We take our general hurts. More of this, less of that, right? All of our bad habits. All of our hang-ups. Any more? Come on, just a few more. What's that? All your thoughts. Take captive every thought. Oops. Thoughts doesn't start with a G. Is that all? We got some more trash here. Marriages. Whew. What'd you say? Wayward children. All right, I'm almost out. Any more? Any more? Gabe's dating life, in case you didn't hear. Which is existent, by the way, just so you know. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. After my button popped, I need a good vote of confidence, so I appreciate that. All right. Is that all? Man. What'd you say? I didn't hear. I'm sorry. Fears. Sorry. Fears. All right. So here we got a big bag of trash, a big bunch of junk that Jesus said that he wants. A big bunch of stuff that Jesus said, if you're burdened down, if you're carrying heavy loads, if you can't handle it anymore on your own, then Jesus says, bring it to me. So let's do that. Let's say Jesus is right here by the fan. I'm going to say, Jesus, man, this was too much for me to carry. I couldn't do it on my own anymore. It was really weighing me down. You said you'd take it, so I appreciate it, man. You did me a solid. So there's all my junk, Jesus, and I'll catch you later. And we walk away from it. Now, I need to unpack that just a little bit, because that's the right thing to do, and that's the wrong thing to do. But let me explain that. You've heard a lot of times in church, take it to the cross and leave it there. And that is true. Take it to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that wants it. Jesus is the only one that can handle it. Jesus is the only one that can transform it. But let me show you what the problem with that is and why so many people end up picking back up the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups and the anger and the marriage problems and the addictions and the fears and the worry and financial problems and everything else that you said to me. Let me show you why so many people don't really get healing from that, don't really deal with it properly. Jesus said this, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. One translation says, learn from me. Jesus said, let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. So if we just take all of our trash to Jesus and leave it there and walk away and saying, all right, God's going to fix all of my problems. I said one prayer and I'm going to give it to him, and then that means I don't ever have to worry about it ever again. You know what we're saying when we do that? We're saying, Jesus, you're nothing more than a wizard. And I just want you to wave your magic wand. And I just want you to take that addiction away. And I want you to take this away. And I want you to fix this. And just sprinkle some Jesus dust on it. And that'll fix it. And I think that's why so many people don't experience true healing and what they need healed of. Because they do the first step, but they don't do the next part. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. I have a picture of a yoke here. I want you to see what he was talking about. He was speaking to people that would understand this illustration that he was talking about. And he said, if you take my yoke upon you, then you will realize that that heavy burden that you had can now be made into a lighter burden. Can we show that yoke? That's what cows or oxen would get into to work. Now you'll notice a few things here. One cow, ox, whatever you want to call them, one cow can't go this direction and the other one say, thanks, but no thanks, I'm going to go here. It can't happen. When one moves, the other one has to move. When one goes to a step to the right, the other one has to go right. If they stop, both of them stop. It's teamwork. It's together. I find great comfort in knowing that the creator of the universe cares enough about my issues, that the creator of the universe cares enough about what you're dealing with, that he says, if you get in the yoke with me, the creator of the universe, y'all, wants you with him. If you get in with me and let me teach you, now something's going to start happening. Because now we didn't just take all of our junk and leave it at Jesus' feet and say, thanks, man. But now, we're doing what he said to do, which is, take my yoke upon you. You couldn't carry it by yourself. That addiction was too heavy for you to break by yourself. But if you let me take it with you, no, now together we can do something with that. If you let me teach you through that, now we can work with that, Jesus says. But when you just let it at his feet, say, thanks, dude. It's only a matter of time before that issue comes back up. Now, this is not an overnight fix. That's what we want, right? We want instant gratification because that's what we are. Instant gratification society is what we live in. If I turn my TV on and the sound doesn't emit, you know, sometimes there's like 4 or 5 seconds of video before the audio comes on. I'm like, what's going on with me? Is the Wi-Fi down? What's going on with the cable? What's up? Or if I pull my phone out and I go to pull something up and I get the little spin bar, it's like, oh, are you serious? I pay too much money for this thing for it to be acting like this. We want instant gratification. But Jesus is saying, get in a process with me. Let me teach you. Learn from me. Because if we just drop it off and go off, the next time that shows itself and the next time that we deal with the temptation to pick that back up, guess where Jesus is? Where we left him. Guess where we are? Not in the yoke with him. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to pick that addiction right back up and go right back to it. We're going to pick that habit, that hurt, that hang up right back up. And our trash hasn't been properly dealt with. Jesus is our go-to, and only in Jesus, number two, to transform our trash, we need to understand that Jesus is my rest stop. He says, once you pick up the yoke, get in the yoke with me, and you let me teach you, you will find rest for your souls. So even though we can easily picture a physical rest, I think the safety pin just popped. No joke. Even though we can visualize physically resting, Jesus is saying this is what can happen to your soul. You can kick back and relax and wear stretchy pants next time. Only then can we find rest for our souls. Only then can we begin to see what Jesus wants to do in our lives when we get in the yoke with him. I feel like I deserve a Dr. Pepper. Jesus is our go-to. Jesus is our rest stop. And number three, I want you to really hang with me on this one. You're going to think I'm crazy. You already do. Hang with me. After Jesus is our go-to, after Jesus becomes our rest stop, to transform our trash, we need to understand that Jesus is my change-o machine. Does anybody, yeah, I work with teenagers. You just got to understand how my brain works. Does anybody remember the old AT&T commercial about the change-o machine and the kids? Well, if not, you're in luck.
What's better, saving a bunch or not saving at all?
A bunch.
What would you buy with all this money you saved?
I'd buy a change-o machine so I could change my brother into a puppy.
Change-o machine? Couldn't you just buy an actual puppy?
But if my brother's a puppy, I could bring him to show and tell and say, here's my puppy brother.
Well, when you say it like that, it makes perfect sense.
It's not complicated. Saving is better.
Well, doesn't that make sense? If I have something and I want something else, put it in the change-o machine, right? Well, if we allow Jesus to be our change-o machine, look what the progression he goes in these verses. Well, he starts out, he opens the verse up with these words. Come to me if you're weary and carry heavy burdens. Fast forward to verse 30. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. He starts out by saying, if you got these heavy burdens, bring them to me, and I can make them light. Change of machine right there in the middle. We got to take it to him first. We have to allow him to teach us. We have to find rest in him, and only then can he do something with our trash. How many things would you like to throw into a change of machine? I mean, just let your imagination go wild for a second. I feel like we just reached a whole new level of closeness for what I'm dealing with right now, so let's just let your imagination go wild. I can tell you what I would like to throw into a change-o machine. When I pull up to my house in the evening after a long day at work or dealing with whatever I've dealt with, and I look in my backyard, and I see an in-ground swimming pool. I would love to change a machine in my backyard. When I sit in my Honda, I see a 7-inch touchscreen navigation system, the works, and my Honda dash immediately turns into a Cadillac. It does it, I promise it does. When I'm sitting at my table trying to figure out how this is going to work and this is going to work, and I look at my checkbook and I think, if I could just change a machine. I don't think I'm the only one that does this. Does anybody else ever look at your balance and you think, if I could just once, if you would just let me just one time switch around some digits? I can't tell you how many times there was a 9 as the last digit. And when I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, if I could switch that to the first digit, that would be awesome right now. We just want to change our machine that. Think of all the things that you would like to throw into a change our machine. When the reality is, all those things that I just mentioned, pools and cars and checkbook balances and whatever else, I would love to, when I look in the mirror, let me tell you what, sometimes I just look in the mirror and I think, how did that happen? I mean, I change a machine myself in a Channing Tatum. Every time. Every time. I don't think his buttons popped recently. Chiseled body, change a machine. The truth is, none of that really matters, does it? If Jesus becomes our go-to, we find rest in him. And then he takes those heavy burdens, those things that we can't deal with on our own, that stuff that we're just about at the end of our rope, ready to give up. And Jesus says, get in the yoke with me on that. And let me carry the load. Now, we just saw he's not going to do it by himself. If he's there and we're way over here dealing with something, we're not in the yoke with him. We're going two totally separate directions. Jesus wants my trash. Jesus, he can handle my trash. And Jesus is the only one that can transform my trash. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, it could be something that we mentioned, something we put in the trash bag, or something unique. But I feel very certain that everyone in the room could think of at least one thing. Are you tired? Are you weary? Carrying that heavy burden? Exhausted? Just sick of dealing with it? Just about at the end of your rope? Can I invite you today to take that to Jesus? And then let him teach you. See, that verse says, let me teach you. There's a lot of ways that God can teach us things. And I say this just about every time I have a microphone attached to me. But I say it because it's true. There's a lot of ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to other people. I believe that very much, because there's been times that God's used other people to say things to me. God speaks to us through circumstances. There's things that you're dealing with that he shows what doors are open, what ones are closed. I believe God speaks to us through circumstances. I believe God can speak to us through songs. I believe that God has impressed on people's hearts to write certain songs that minister to us and speak to us. I believe that with all my heart. But the number one way that God speaks to us, the number one way that you can never go wrong in trying to figure out how God wants to teach you something and show you something and help you with something is by opening up his written word and seeing what he has to say to you. That's the number one way that God speaks to us. Because when you do that, you realize when you're in the yoke with him and you're letting him teach you, and you realize, okay, God, I'm dealing with this now. I've got this This person that I work with, I have to see that person every day of my life, and I just don't think I can do it anymore. And you got all this anger and this bitterness building up about it, and God says, Jesus says, all right, get in the yoke with me. If you try this on your own, it's not going to end up too pretty for you, but get in with me. And when I show you where to go, all I need you to go do is go with me. But God, you don't understand the financial burden that I'm dealing with right now. I just don't understand how it's going to work out. Well, on your own, that burden's way too heavy to carry. But when God says, all right, come here, let me show you this about me and my provision in your life and the promise that I made to be faithful at all times in your life. Well, if you're in the yoke with him, it's a lot easier to take. When you have hatred building up so fierce inside of you that you honestly don't know what you may or may not do to that person. Well, on your own, that burden's way too heavy to carry. And it's not going to end good. But when God takes a step, if we're in with him, we take a step. If he goes to the left, we go to the left. If he steps right, we have no choice but to go to the right because we're in it. We're a team. We're in this teamwork endeavor of whenever you step, I go. When you go this way, I go this way. And guess what? God's way is always better than our way. I'm still fairly young, but I've already experienced that on my own. The hard way on a lot of things. God's way is always better. And we deal with all this stuff, and I'm convinced that there are so many things that we deal with on a daily basis that we were never meant to deal with. Now we are in, as I said, a sinful, broken, fallen world. There's nothing we can do about that. Sin is in this world and it's all around us. But I believe there are tons of things that we deal with on a daily basis that God never intended for us because we don't properly take them to him first. Whenever Jesus Christ came to this earth, still being 100% God, but choosing to be confined to the bounds of human standards, but still being 100% God, when he chose to do that, when he carried out his life, his ministry here on the earth, and when he was hanging on that cross, paying for every sin, past, present, and future, I want y'all to know he paid for it all. There is nothing that did not fall under the saving blood of Jesus Christ whenever he took his last breath, when he willingly gave up his life and died for our sins on the cross. There is nothing that you can think of or do or say or be a part of that he did not 100% pay for when he did that. And whenever we don't properly deal with things, when we go to someone else first, when we go to another person, when we go to another resource other than to the ultimate source, I can only imagine what goes through the mind of God when he's thinking, I've given you the instructions. I've given you how to deal with that. I've told you how to make it easier on you. You can't deal with it. Come to me. My burden will be light. Because Jesus not only died for our sins, but he was buried and 3 days later walked out of the grave alive so that he is alive now, today, making intercession with the Father. He is there in heaven with God. Whenever this happens, he's saying, hey, Dad, check this out. He's right there. He is our mediator. He's right there in the middle saying, this is it. This is the way to God. We can only get to God through Jesus. He's the only one that made that way for us. To pay for our sins, to trust him for eternal life, and then from there on out, to deal with all the trash that we deal with. But we have to take it to him. We have to allow him to work with it. We have to allow him to give us rest. And we have to allow him to change us. This morning, you're going to be faced with a lot of bad news the rest of the day and the rest of the week. Turn on the news, flip through your news feed, anything. There'll be bad news all around you. But I want to leave you with this good news this morning. I want to leave you with this hope. If you feel like you're at the end of your rope, you have no hope left, you are exhausted, you're tired, you're weary, you can't deal with it any longer, I want to leave you with this. Jesus wants your trash. Jesus can handle your trash, and only Jesus can transform your trash. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Well, before I pray, I want you to still with eyes closed and your heads bowed. I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. So we pretty much settled, first off, we've all got trash. We've all got stuff. No one's exempt from that. And if you're dealing with something that you've already taken to Jesus and you've gotten the yoke with him and you're letting him teach you, you're learning from him, and when he steps, you step. When he says do this, you do it. When he says don't do that, you don't do that. Then my prayer for you is that that continues. But I just got to believe that there's some people here today that would say, I'm dealing with some trash. And I'm tired of dealing with that trash. And I just don't know if I can go on any longer. But I want Jesus to take it. I want Jesus to use it. I want Jesus to transform it. This is a time for you to do business with God. If you want to share that with somebody, that's totally up to you. You do not have to do that at all. You can sit where you are and pray and begin that process with Jesus, or you are more than welcome to come to the front of this church and kneel down and confess that to God, totally between you and him. That's what Jesus did for us. He allowed access for us to God without having to go through anyone else. So I want to invite you to do that today. I want to invite you to let Jesus transform your trash this week. Begin that process. And how much stronger will your life be? How much stronger will that track record be once you've built that up with Jesus? And next time that something else comes up, you can say, well, you know what? The last time I took that to Jesus and I let him teach me, it didn't happen overnight, but it worked. And I'm going to take this right back to him again because I know he is faithful and he's going to do it again. If you want to start that process with something today, I want to invite you to let Jesus begin to transform whatever's going on. God, thank you for making yourself available to us. God, for showing us your love, for perfectly demonstrating to us the love of a father. Jesus, you gave your life so that we wouldn't have to deal with the trash. Jesus, you gave your life so that we could experience life. And Jesus, you're alive today to continue that love for us, to continue transforming us, to continue allowing us to experience life. And today, Jesus, we recognize you as the only one that can do that, the only one that has done that, and Jesus, the only one that is worthy of our praise. Holy Spirit, you have free reign in this room to do as you see fit. Deal with hearts today. And it's in your name we pray all these things.